Today we are celebrating Harvest Thanksgiving along with Mother's Day. So the sentence for today is from Acts 14, chapter 17. God has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. So let us pray the collect together. God, you look with compassion upon our land and its people. Give us the wisdom to do the same. Impress upon us the connection between the way we treat the land and the people you call us to be. Deliver us from ways that are violent and destructive of the land and of ourselves, we pray. Amen.
Gloria, Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, Gloria, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Gloria, Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, Gloria, Hallelujah, Hallelujah.
Gloria, Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, Gloria, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Gloria, Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Gloria, Gloria, Hallelujah.
The first reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, beginning at verse 8. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give to them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot, as in the vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys, that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens, so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds, tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The New Testament reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 14, verses 13 to 17.
The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifice to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth, and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we have our remote harvest festival. I thought I can't really put it off any longer or it will be too late in the year. And much of what we would traditionally do for harvest festival is not possible this year. So now is a good time to enjoy all the good things that we have been given. I was also a bit disappointed that the pandemic cut short our Lenten study, another reason to turn to this topic. Since one of the lectionary readings for Harvest Thanksgiving is from the Book of Acts this year, it also fitted in this preaching series on the Book of Acts. So let's draw these strands together. Our reading from Acts tells us about the honor and veneration that Paul and Barnabas experienced in Lystra after they healed a crippled man. The people thought that they are gods and worship Paul and Barnabas. At this stage, Paul and Barnabas want to set things right. "We are only human like you, not gods," they say. And then the apostles use the opportunity to tell the people of Lystra about God. They use language that connects with the experience of the listeners. And here it is the sort of language we would hear at a harvest festival. "He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Yes, the people knew about this. And some of them might even be grateful for all the blessings they experienced. However, they would have attributed those gifts to other gods, maybe particularly to Demeter, the goddess of harvest and agriculture. Even though the Greek gods were thought to have their own departmental responsibility, they were all linked. Note that Paul and Barnabas were honored by a priest of Zeus. Indeed, Paul was thought to be Zeus and Barnabas Hermes. Zeus being the supreme god, the father of the gods. And now they say, that is Paul and Barnabas say, that the supreme God does not only somehow rule the whole array of gods, but rather made the whole earth and is also the one who gives through the earth all the goodness that we experience. The apostles seem to say that the people need to forget about their departmentalization of the gods, that they need to look at the world anew and shift their worldview radically to really see God. Of course, that is not easy, but for Paul and Barnabas, it is an obvious place to connect so that they can tell people about God. I don't think that in our own time of industrial farming, when most of us are so removed from harvest and land, that is necessarily a point where we can connect God to the experience of others. Nevertheless, in our time, the relationship between God and nature touches many people. Often it is the wonder of our natural world which also generates in many a sense of awe that makes them sense something of the divine. And here maybe we can bring in our Christian understanding, which makes some sense of the beauty of the natural world, but also its perplexities. Of course, the Christian faith does not so much serve a technical, scientific study of nature. but it can frame it and point to something deeper beyond the bare observations of repeated processes. That God is the creator and sustainer of the universe, and also its savior, that is quite central to the Christian faith. It is not just an obscure point that is hauled out from the extremes of doctrine to try and find some commonality with others. One of the most important responses to this reality is thankfulness for all the good we experience. At Harvest Thanksgiving, we give specifically thanks for the provision through the land and sea, first the provision of food and the necessities of life, and then also for the beauty of the world. This thanksgiving for God's provision through the land is a prominent strand of the Old Testament. The Bible is quite clear that with these gifts also comes responsibility, in particular the responsibilities of the covenant to recognize God as the giver of good things, to keep the commandments of the covenant by loving God and neighbor and turning from idols, and also a responsibility to respect the land and give it its rest. Our reading from Deuteronomy today also reflects these two aspects of land as gift and responsibility. The land of Israel is described as a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven, a description that could also match New Zealand. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Sounds a bit like New Zealand again, at least if you count the excellent rape oil that is produced here. Of course, agriculture in ancient Israel was a rather different affair from what we know here today. The climate, soils, and topography are quite different. The technology and cultural setting are even wider apart. And yet, we can learn about our responsibilities in God's creation from these passages of the Bible. The verses we read from Deuteronomy today are often used by those studying the agricultural systems of ancient Israel as a shorthand to describe the type of production that was common there. It was mixed farming, with pastoral farming, grain growing, viticulture, and horticulture. This gives us some information to understand much of the Bible, as we keep in mind the people to whom the words of the Bible were first addressed. The passage also reads as quite sound advice on the type of land that Israel will be living in, and therefore the type of farming that is best suited to this land. It would be foolish to try Egyptian farming techniques in Israel. In our own day, it seems we have to relearn a similar lesson. Only slowly is New Zealand realizing that maybe dairy farming is not the best farming type on the soils and in the climate of Canterbury. The Waikato and areas of Southland are far better suited to it. Of course, such farming techniques can be forced onto the land by irrigation, but the expense and therefore indebtedness and the environmental consequences are horrendous. If we regard the land as a gift, then we may well ask the question what we do with the gifts we have been given, whether we are forcing them to a purpose that they are not really suited to. Such gifts may also be our own talents or, for example, the church we have inherited. In our Lenten study, Life in the Garden, this passage served as an illustration to contrast current industrial farming from gardening. I think the authors have a point. After all, Deuteronomy contrasts life in Egypt with life in Israel. In Egypt, agriculture was based on the annual flooding of the Nile and on irrigation. Most of it was conducted as part of the state administration, with high officials holding vast estates gathering the produce into state-administered storage facilities from which it was also dispensed. Egypt was a highly stratified society with many specialist occupations. These were supported by the produce grown under the efficient state machine. Most people who worked the land were just cogs in the machine in a vast-scale industrial food production system. Agriculture in ancient Israel, in contrast, was a lot more small-scale. Land was held as inalienable inheritance by families and tribes. The main unit of production was the family, even though there was some storage and redistribution of farming proceeds through the king and the king's servants. The land and its produce were seen as gifts. Both family and God required that the land was held in trust, valued and cared for. While this was not gardening, it was indeed a system not so much focused on production and consumption, but rather means to provide for the family and carry on the inheritance. Some may regard this passage, and especially some other passages in the Old Testament, as a polemic of a tribal people against the highly organized resource management system of an empire. But in the Bible it has a deeper significance. What we do for our living, how we produce and how we treat creation is a response to God's faithfulness. It is not the reverse as it often was in Egypt and other nations, where people treated the gods in a certain way in order to influence successful living, production and control of nature. Rather, the Bible is clear that we dare not use God as a tool to achieve our own comfort and success. What does that mean for us here in 21st century New Zealand? We still face the temptation to instrumentalize God and similarly to make nature divine. These are extremes that take us away from God and a healthy understanding of our own place in the world. We need to realize who we are in the sight of God, the gifts we have been given, and similarly the responsibilities that are ours, and accept both with gratitude. The prayer we have used as a collect expresses it well. God, you look with compassion upon our land and its people. Give us the wisdom to do the same. Impress upon us the connection between the way we treat the land and the people you call us to be. Deliver us from ways that are violent and destructive of the land and of ourselves, we pray. Amen.